Macbeth is an unholy riddle we still hesitate to name for fear of retribution. Macbeth is to the theater world what King Tut's tomb is to archaeologists. The superstition follows that any company performing the play will be beset with horrible luck, ranging anywhere from uncanny accidents on the set to actual deaths within the company. 13 Omens Podcast is available at myspace.com/13_omens. Look for the link in the About Me section.
heard Midnight Eclipse Paranormal Talk Radio yet? Well, then go to www.midnighteclipse.net.tc and find out what all the fuss is about.
Let's go to work.
You are listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug and Scott L.
That was quite a fun break.
Yes, it was.
I am that aforementioned Doug. And I am that aforementioned Scott L.
And I am
that never mentioned
the midget that Scott was talking about earlier, Bonnie.
Keep in the closet.
No, we are under the stairs.
We're launching off Ghost Month here in fine fashion, I think. We've talked to some really great people. We've been to Australia. We've been to New Jersey and, technically speaking, northern Utah. Mm-hmm. And now we're going, I have no idea, we're going to Texas.
Wherever. That's a good question.
Geography has never been my
favorite. But actually, with this group and these two people, we have two guests to round out the show tonight.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Simultaneously. With these two people, they're...
Who would have thought it? Who?
They're all over the map. That was really bad.
I know, that was terrible.
That was worse than the...
All right, the mic is going off again.
I am so going to clip that out. We're going to play that at the anniversary party.
Yes.
These two folks... First of all, this is insane. I think this is absolutely insane who you booked for the first weekend. I absolutely love it. I'm geeked. And this is Greg McAleer and Tanya Hacker from Ghoulie.
Yeah, Ghoulie. We've had Tanya on the show before, so welcome back, Tanya, and welcome to the show, Greg.
Now, thanks, guys.
It's really cool to talk to you guys, because you guys are working on a project, from what I understand. And
Actually. And, you know, Tanya's in Oklahoma City, I'm in Chicago, and I'm not actually part of Ghoulie,
mm-hmm.
but I had contacted Tanya, and with working with her, we've made her our location manager. So she's in charge of finding us locations, screening locations, screening the groups that we'd use.
In Chicago?
All across the
United States.
So because you happen to be, like, centered, right, you now have arms that reach to either coast.
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
this makes absolute sense. This is awesome. Good luck, Tanya.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. Who knew that a bunch of pointless ghost knowledge would come in handy, huh?
This is amazing.
Ghostly Talk is living proof of that. Okay?
Yeah.
This is amazing. Oh, so you had a need for Tanya or for somebody to fulfill this role, and so yes, continue on. I know we were going to learn about your project. Sorry.
Well, you know, the project we're working on a paranormal television series pilot by the name of American Haunts, and you know, I know there's a couple of shows out there. One, which is no longer going to be with us, sad to say. It's a good show. You know, I was looking for someone who had the knowledge that Tanya has. I myself am not a ghost hunter. I never have been a ghost hunter. What sparked my interest in the entire thing was I was in San Diego back in December, and I visited the Whaley House.
Mm-hmm.
And something in the house interacted with me, no one else but me, and I walked away with a photograph that just has really changed the way I think of about a lot of things. When I was a kid, I grew up in a house that was haunted, and of course my parents tried to, you know, explain it away to other things, but you know, looking back on it, I mean, there was no doubt the house was haunted. But, you know, my interest kind of just stopped right there. And I always had interest in ghosts and stuff like that, which is one of the reasons I even went to the Whaley House. But I think I emailed you guys the photograph that I took there.
Yeah, and we're actually looking at them right now. Guys and gals who are listening to this show live and or on an archive, all right? This is what you can do. If you go to our photo section on the website, guys, just give me a second. I'll get this out of the way.
Yeah, go to www.ghostlytalk.com. In the menu across the top, there's photos.
You click on photos. You go to photos, and if you scroll down to the bottom of our photo album, you'll see something called Focus Photos. And Greg sent these over to us. It's four photos. If you go into the Focus Photos section, it's the very first icon. You'll see it. And this is the four photos that we're going to be talking about here probably for the first few minutes, right, Greg?
This is the first time I've seen these.
Really?
Well, I just kind of put these up, and we haven't talked all week.
Though. I know.
So
you guys were coming back from that conference.
Oh, yeah. We've been coming back from a whole summer of conferences.
I'm making excuses for you.
Yeah, thank you.
It worked.
We need that kind of support. All right, that's what we need. But no, we have these up right now. I'm looking at them right now as we speak, Greg.
We are. This is amazing. So folks can call this up if you're live.
Yeah.
Listening live, go to photos and click, ghostlytalk.com, click on photos, scroll down to the focus photos,
we call them.
In that album, there's one called 10-1-2006 focus photo. 10-1-06 focus photo.
Mm-hmm.
There's four pictures in there. Look at these guys. If you're on a, if you're listening to the podcast or a rebroadcast on an affiliate,
just re-listen to it again. Go to the website.
It's still going to be there.
It's not going anywhere. These are in there forever.
It's going to be in there to be a companion to this show.
Mm-hmm.
So and take a peek and take a look. Those in the chat room. Take a look and let us know what you think.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I am.
You took these photos. I know that was a long, long, long time, but we were talking about you went to the Whaley House. You took this photo.
That's right. And, it's funny. When I was there, I was with another person, and she had no idea the history of the Whaley House. Now, of course, I did because it's been featured on a number of television shows and whatnot. But she was reading when you first walk into the Whaley House. For those of you that haven't been to the Whaley House, when you first walk in, there's volunteers that work there. On the main floor, the largest room is the courthouse, which is to your left, and they hand out literature about the history of the house, and then separately they give you a piece of paper with the history of the hauntings. My companion that I was with, she was sitting there in the courtroom reading the history, and I decided to take a couple of pictures. And, my camera at the time was, 6 months old, and it's a Kodak 7590, so it wasn't a cheap camera at the time. It retailed for about $600. So, and I had switched out the batteries, put a freshly charged battery in, and when I start taking photos, first couple of photos were fine. I moved into a corner of the courtroom, and when I went to take a photo, the camera shut off. So, not really thinking anything of it, I thought, well, that's kind of strange. Maybe I bumped something on the camera and shut it off. So I turned the camera back on and went to take a photo again. Shut off. And it was only as I would lift the camera up to take the photo would it shut off.
Mm.
So then I started thinking, maybe I was talking while I was switching the batteries out and figured, maybe that was what happened. I put the old battery back in by mistake. So I checked the LCD screen and it didn't give me a low battery indication. So I went to go take a photo again, shut off. So I decided, I'm going to move out of this corner. So I moved out of the corner. Camera was fine. I approached one of the volunteers and, had asked her, just by chance, do people have a problem taking pictures in this house? And she said, well, as a matter of fact, they do. She said, one of the locations is in the courtroom, corner of the courtroom. I said, well, that's weird because I was having problems in there. My camera was shutting itself off. She said, well, wait till you get upstairs. She said a couple of weeks ago, there was a two-hour period of time when nobody could take a photo in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So, we continued to check out the downstairs. And, there's other tourists in the house. It's open to the public. It's $5 to get in. And the camera was fine. I went upstairs up the staircase and went to the right, and that is the master bedroom. And the thing about the house is most of the rooms you can't actually enter into the room. There's a wooden barrier and then plexiglass. It's about up to about 6 feet. And anytime I was trying to take a picture in the rooms, I would have to lift the camera over the plexiglass to make sure I wasn't getting any, you know, camera flare, you know, any light anomalies bouncing back off the plexiglass. So I was able to take the first two pictures, and all of a sudden, the camera shut off.
Mm-hmm.
And in that room alone, and this is the room the photograph was taken in, the camera shut off about 20 times.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this was your introduction to what we do all the time. and you really did get it. You really did get an overload, I think, because we've had, we call it equipment failure.
Mm-hmm.
And when we go out and about, it's very common for batteries to drain instantly. I'm sure you've done some research since. And you're
absolutely.
Oh, my gosh, these people deal with this every weekend, you know. And sure enough, equipment failure, you know, it happens. And it sounds like yours was like overload. I mean, you had it in the corner of the courtroom, then you had it upstairs, and you just went crazy with equipment malfunctions. And
what I think is so cool is because when he was telling me his little stories, what, you know, got him motivated to do a television show, I've been doing research for a couple of years now on people who are not ghost hunters and witness accounts and all this stuff, because, you know, I'm a firm believer, I think I talked to you guys about this before, that you don't really have to be a ghost hunter to witness paranormal activity. And as ghost hunters, that's where our claims come from, is from witness accounts.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when he was telling me about what he wants to do with his show and all that, I was like, well, you did it yourself, you know, and he took what his personal account as a regular person and not this big, huge, I'm a ghost hunter hero format.
Yeah.
And he's like, and that's the whole thing. It's like, ghost hunters overlook the fact that real people are the one that's witnessing things that we're chasing,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it's kind of getting back to the basics instead of going above and beyond with technology. It's kind of going back to setting those people up like we ghost hunters, you know, putting that bait out there.
Well, I've been saying that. I know Doug's been saying this forever also, is that most people out there who are on a fixed income, who have, you know, regular jobs to go to and stuff like that, you don't have a $20,000 budget to work on to buy equipment with. Not
right.
taking anything away from anybody else. That's how it's done on there,
well,
and that's totally cool.
And you've got different hobbies.
Yeah.
You know, you've got...
Yeah. But I mean, I think for the majority of people out there, we're trying to find, you know, cheap, easy ways to go out there and do this experiment and do this new experience, do this kind of work, you know. And unfortunately, you know, like I said, you know, some people don't have a multi-$1,000 budget to work with. They maybe have a multi-hundred.
Well, it's not needed.
We have a multi-hundred-dollar budget.
If we're lucky.
Yeah, you know,
if we're lucky.
Over
you
5 years.
Document what you're doing, you know, either a video camera or even, you know, a still camera or even audio or something.
Yeah,
as long as you're documenting your adventure that you're taking.
Yeah.
I mean, and you have your own little evidence, because, you know, I don't agree with, like, a lot of photographic evidence that's out there, but that was enough to him, to Greg, to prove to him that, yeah, there is something out there.
Well, Greg,
so I just thought it was really cool.
Here's some advice for Greg, though, is seeing that you're new to this field. The majority of the money you're going to spend is going to be on food and gasoline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really, where a lot of your money goes,
it's true. Gasoline.
So far, it's been on plane fare.
Yeah,
and,
well,
and,
travel.
You know,
there you go.
Travel.
Costs and...
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you're taking it to the nth degree, but I mean, most ghost hunters, it's like traveling to the sites, and you buy your camera once, and you might buy batteries and film, although rechargeable batteries have been heaven sent. But you buy your materials pretty much once, except for
you upgrade every few years,
but other than that, it's like it's just talking to people, finding out some really good haunts, finding out what other people have experienced where, and then trying to go experience it yourself and get that photograph that you've been dying to get. Speaking of the photograph you've been dying to get, you probably didn't even know you were looking for this photograph. You take this photograph, and what did it mean to you at the time? What did you think?
Well, you know, the thing is that what appears in the photograph was not visible to the naked eye.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I took the photo, there was nothing there. I was experiencing something. My camera was experiencing problems, but there was nothing there when I took the photo. It wasn't really until, the whole time, most of the time, I thought it was still a malfunction of my camera, hoping that it could possibly be a ghost, but really, you know, I'm kind of a skeptic. You know, I believe there's ghosts. I've experienced things, like I said, when I was a kid. But for the most part, you know, I'm very skeptical. And even when it's happening to me, it wasn't until when I moved into the back bedroom of the house where the way the room was set up, there was a child's bed to my left. There was like a twin-size bed in the middle of the room, and then there was a child's chair and a chest of drawer along the right-hand wall. I could take a picture of the child's bed. I could take a picture of the twin-size bed. But every time I tried to take a picture of the child's chair and chest of drawer, the camera would shut off. Now, this is, I mean, the way it's set up, I don't know if either one of you guys have ever been to the Whaley House, but there's not a lot of room when you first walk in. You can only walk into the room maybe 3 feet. It just happened there were two girls behind me, and they had a digital camera also, and I said, can you do me a favor? Because they asked me what the problem was, because they could see my frustration. And I said, you know, could you do me a favor? Could you stand right here and take a picture of that chair? So the girl said, sure, no problem. So, you know, she took it with her digital camera, and there was no problem. I said, okay, now move out of the way. And I stepped in the same spot that she was standing in, because I thought, you know, maybe there was electromagnetic energy or something right there that was creating the problem with the camera. I went to take the picture. Again, it shut off. So, you know, she turned to me and said, you know, maybe it's because you're a guy. And at the time, I was like, well, you know, what the hell would that have been? Guy, you know? It wasn't until I saw the picture when I got home and actually enhanced the picture. And, you know, the picture, the first picture you see, that is just slightly cropped. The rest of the pictures have been, well, the next two have been enhanced with Photoshop.
Mm-hmm.
And all that was corrected was the brightness, the contrast, and the color just slightly to break through the ghostliness of the object, to bring out the detail. And sure enough, when I did that, it was a woman. And in scale, when I show people the picture, I mean, they freak out, but then they're like, she's so small, because in scale, she would have only been about 8 inches tall. But, you know, you can see that she's only manifested up to her bust line, and below that is just like a ball of energy. And, I mean, right then, that proved to me that there is definitely, without a doubt, there's life after death. There is something else once we pass away. And, you know, I started thinking, well, if I could get this in a tourist spot with people in the building during the day, what could I get if I spent a long period of time in a haunted location? And I'm talking days. We're not talking, you know, like 5 hours like, you know, some people on TV are doing, or even 24 hours like most haunted does. I'm talking about days in a haunted location. And, you know, it started off as a concept, and it has just blossomed into this production where I have brought in, you know, like you know, I emailed you guys. You know, Troy Taylor is involved with this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Troy is really excited about the whole thing because of the whole premise of the show. I mean, it's completely different than what you're seeing now on TV.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to get involved, because once he explained it to me, I was just like, well, it's more real, and it's not trying to prove science, and it's more back to psychology and back to basic people and just the event itself, the paranormal event, and documenting the event and the effect and cause it has on everybody that's around it and that it happens to. And it's just kind of getting the fun back in it, you know. And I was all for it whenever he was explaining to me, especially spending the long amount of time at the location.
Well, it's something it's putting the wonder back into it, I'd say.
The actual psychology of parapsychology has gone to technology, and it's like go live in that place for a week and then document everything that happens.
That's the way to do it, too.
I'll listen to your story more than I will somebody that just spent 24 hours in there.
Interesting.
You know, because you actually were in that environment, and you were able to investigate every little thing
that's
possibly be doing it.
Well, that's where it's at. Go ahead, Doug.
There's two things, actually. First of all, it all supports your premise, by the way. So it really, really works right now. There was one time, was it 3 years ago, I think, Will and myself spent a lot of time, and Bonnie was there a few times, up in a haunted location, a known haunted location, up in, I don't know, north of Flint or something. It was way up there. Anyway, it's this inn. It used to be a hotel. It was in Holly, and it was it used to be a hotel, and now it's just a restaurant, one that's known to be haunted. So what happens is, I came out of that week. We spent a week there. Now, we didn't actually sleep there, but we would be there till about midnight. Then we'd be back the next evening, you know, when the dinner time came, right? And we did that every single day for a week.
That was for Halloween, too.
And it was during Halloween week, yes. This was about 3 years ago or four. And I'm telling you, that is the most concentrated number of paranormal occurrences. I mean, occurrences that I noticed and wrote down. I didn't investigate them. I was just there, right? I was actually helping with an event that they were having. And I experienced five or six of these, and then one was actually experienced in the kitchen, and they ran in asking, you know, oh my gosh, did we interrupt you guys? You know, so I mean, we didn't hear a thing. You know, it was their own to do. You know, these weird occurrences happened. It just happened over and over, and I wrote them down. I wrote them down, and I kept a note of you know, who told me and when they happened and things like that. So, but that was like a concentration of unexplainable. That doesn't at the time, I should say, because I just didn't investigate them. I just wrote them down as being really odd or, you know, probably paranormal, just, you know, things. And I thought that was amazing. So going back night after night like that really did prove out to be very helpful, very productive.
Yeah.
Right.
Very productive,
and also
paranormal.
You were patient with the location, I'm sure.
Right.
Well,
we
had to apply some patience with it. Because
right.
So many people are wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. And it's like, you know, you got to go in and allow the place to be haunted and give it some time.
Right. Well, I knew I'd have to be there anyway. So if it was going to happen, it was going to happen. If it wasn't, I had to be there anyway. It didn't matter. But it did happen. It's just like it knew that there was no pressure.
Right, that's exactly right.
Hey, whenever it's convenient for you to do something, feel free.
Yeah, I mean, because I'll be here all week.
Yeah, I'm like, right. I want to talk more about this.
Well, there was one more thing.
Okay, go ahead.
My other favorite haunt, and my favorite haunts, and I just explained this in the last hour, my favorite haunts are public haunts, haunts where anybody can get, can experience them. My old school teacher can experience it because she happens to be eating in that restaurant. I could experience it if I happen to be wandering down that road and I see the lady in white crossing the street. You know, whatever it is, anybody can experience it. And that's my personal favorite kind of haunt. And I say that over and over and over on the show, so people are sick of hearing me say that. But
you get more witness accounts, and that validates the haunting a little bit more.
Exactly.
Well, and, you know, it's funny that you're saying that, because that was one of the things that, when I told Tanya about what we were doing, that was one of the things that absolutely, one of the main things about the show was that we would be going to locations that your average person would be able to just go to. It's not somebody's house. You know, you can't pull up into somebody's house that you've seen on TV and say, hey, you know, I want to experience your haunting. You just can't do that.
No.
Or an abandoned property.
Like, my aunt would not be wandering through an abandoned property. I'm sorry. She wouldn't be. So she would never get to experience that haunting. Neither would my school teacher, you know.
You know, we want places that are public, open to the public. Now, really, the location that we were shooting the pilot at and then ran into all kinds of legal nightmare.
It was a nightmare.
I believe
Tanya was there for this It was the second filming of it, and it was a night.
Can we describe that after the
Yeah, we want to hear a quick break.
Because I want to hear about it. So
definitely do that. Yeah, let's just chill out for a minute and let you guys couldn't fire it up to talk about it.
Jot these down in order of ludicrousness.
Yeah.
If that's a word. Wow.
Greg McAleer, right?
Right.
Did I screw it up? Greg McAleer and Tanya Hacker are with us.
We'll be right back after this with more about this wild time they had filming
American Haunts.
American Haunts.
We'll be right back.
For more information, visit ghostlytalk.com.
Don't be caught bored waiting for something to go bump in the night. Listen to the Paranormal Broadcast System with Brad, Brandon, Todd, and Paul.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Listen to some great interviews with some amazing guests that run the gamut from ghost hunting groups across the country to paranormal personalities in the media. First, let's be serious for a moment. Then let's have some fun! We've got it all covered. Tune in and listen to intriguing interviews with our hosts from L.A. Spirits and the Louisiana Spectral Research Center. Then kick back and listen to us try to be funny with some crazy Cajuns. And some other guys, too. This is no kids show, folks. It's the Paranormal Broadcast System. Listen to us poke fun at ourselves. It's funnier that way. You can find us at www.laghosts.com. That's www.laghosts.com.
We'll be right back. there. This is John Kenneth Hutchison in Vancouver, Canada. My website is www.hutchisoneffectonline.com. Join the forum for very interactive information. You're listening to Ghostly Talk Radio.
Monstrosion! How's that done
this? Yeah, you see, I was right. It's the poltergeist. It's making him float.
Ah! Get a priest! Get a vicar! I believe in God!
Doug and Scott L.
We're going down the tube.
Close your mouth.
Sorry.
Now we're on the air.
We're on. Oh. All right.
No more cursing or whatever.
Yes. Oh yeah, that's what we do. All right.
All right. Stop the satanic blood orgy. Now we're on the air again. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
And I'm laughing. Ghost Month.
Ghost Month 2006.
I think we started it off in usual fashion. Where we just enjoyed it, I think.
It's amazing. We're talking about people doing ghost hunts. And speaking of which, you guys...
Oh, boy.
Greg and Tanya. Mm-hmm. You guys went and tried to film, you know, people having ghost experiences or talking about their ghost experiences in a month above
doing work.
Working in film, in quite a media, in a tough media. And evidently, it's an interesting experience. How interesting does it get?
Well, you know, let me tell you, everybody, you know, it's funny because since I've been in this, I've run across a number of paranormal teams that, you know, say that they're working on a pilot and all that. Let me tell you, I learned the hard way that a location release really doesn't mean anything when it comes right down to it.
Oh boy.
Even when you're in the middle of filming. But we were filming the pilot at the infamous Baker Hotel down in Mineral Wells, Texas. And we had spent a number of days down there the first time getting footage. I wasn't happy with a lot of the things that we got, well, I should say lack of, even though there was a lot of things that happened, the place is just so immense. We were filming with a limited film crew, and a lot of the things that went on weren't even caught. Even though the camera was in the vicinity, they were just, you know, just weren't there to catch some of the things that went on, or they'd be there to catch the tail end of things happening.
The Baker is a huge location. It's just so big for any production company. It's just an intimidating place anyway.
It's 14 stories. It's 280,000 square feet.
My God.
And, and I don't think that even includes the basement.
No.
Which spans for blocks. I mean, literally blocks.
Oh, my God. So, that's a nightmare.
That alone presents a challenge.
It's a production nightmare. It's, you know what? It's probably one of the reasons that you haven't seen Taps go in there yet. Because... And you know what? After our experience this last time, last month, Taps, I don't think anyone is going to be allowed in the building again. I mean, it went all the way to the mayor's office.
Unless they bought the building.
Because the person who is supposedly buying the building has put a kibosh on any type of filming there and anybody even going into the building. I mean, the only managers are
still allowing people to come into the building.
Right. So, but I think that's probably ended now too. We had assigned location release to be able to film. We ended up getting permission from the mayor of the city because the building is actually been condemned, and there's a lot of small town politics going on there, but you know. Basically, we were given permission by everybody to go to be able to finish up filming in this building. And we got one night in. The prospective buyer of the building contacted us.
He doesn't even live in Texas. Where's he from?
Oh, actually, he's from Texas.
I know there's somebody from Arizona that called, too.
Right, that's the actual owner of the building. But, you know, this guy, he's a multi-million dollar attorney from the county, and everyone kisses his rear end. And, you know, it's the same people who gave us permission all of a sudden said, you know what, you can't do it. No one is allowed in this building. There's absolutely no filming allowed in the building. And this guy claimed that he was bringing in his own film crew. I've heard two different stories. One was that he was going to do his own show there, or two, that the film crew that was actually coming into the Baker was to document the
renovation.
Rehab. Yeah, the renovation of the entire hotel. So whatever it is, I don't know. I mean, we had the right to sue. I mean, one of Tanya's team members works for a very prominent attorney in Oklahoma, and they said, absolutely, you have the right to sue them. You have a signed release, this and that. But you know what? This is not the way we want to start a television series.
In a word, why? I mean, because I'm a ghost hunter myself, and I'm going to tell any ghost hunting teams out there that are even considering filming a pilot, and they may have verbal permission or even a slight written permission to go in and videotape and all this stuff inside of these locations, it can come back to haunt you. I mean, literally, because you have to have that legal. You need an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have everything just on the level, and you need to be prepared to stop production at any moment. Whenever somebody gets a wild hair up there, you know what, and be ready to hit the road. Because the thing is, I'm seeing a lot of teams out there, they're like, oh, yeah, we're filming our own pilot, and they get some cool software at Best Buy or whatever, and they're editing, and they're doing all this cool stuff, which is great, but later on, if they try to sell it or anything like that, these location owners that actually own these buildings, that, you know, some guy sitting in a suit somewhere, if he finds out about it, just a word to the wise, everybody needs to make sure that they are legally covered and that everything is totally covered and released and on the go when you're out there doing any kind of video or in documentary style, you know, anything, production or just for fun or even putting stuff on the internet.
Yeah, exactly.
So
that
it,
is
it's kind
true.
Of a, it's bad news, but it can be done if you do it the right way.
That is true. What's interesting is I think that it must be able to be done, like you said, because, you know, National Geographic Channel obviously does a lot of historical things. The History Channel, they do a lot of documentation. The, Ghost Hunters and the Sci-Fi Channel have obviously breached this.
Well, we're talking this, big money there, too. We're talking a lot more money and a lot more capital with these people.
Yeah,
too.
That's true, but there's got to be something. You know, there's got to be something where individual ghost hunting groups should be able to go in and form a relationship with the owners of a place. And I guess you're right. Identifying the proper party to give
right.
you permission is
right.
going to be
there's
tough.
There's a lot of people who are like, oh, well, they're the caretaker of the building. And
right.
they sign their life away. And on you going in and, you know, setting up shop for a few days or whatever, but when it comes down to it, I mean, I all across the internet, I'm seeing more and more people making these, you know, documentary style things. I'm like, oh, I hope that doesn't come back to haunt them, because if it gets out, the thing is if you're doing that, make sure there's people in the industry, in the film industry, that do nothing but filming insurance and, you know, all those legal issues that you don't know as a ghost hunter. You may know how to find a ghost, but you may not know how to get yourself out of a legal issue when it comes to filming.
Yeah.
We were pretty lucky with filming. We didn't get any legal problems. It's actually kind of reversed. But it's just really important for everybody to just make sure that they have everything totally covered.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not as easy as it looks to go in and get a production and, you know, submit it somewhere for a pilot or a potential show.
Mm-hmm.
There's even with TAFs, Ghost Hunters, they got a whole legal team of people that they probably haven't even met. that are sitting somewhere taking care of all of that.
Oh, I'm sure.
So it's just I'm not a one to discourage anybody, but it's just the reality of it.
I do think that that's a really good word of warning, word to the wise. Make sure you're dealing with the people who have the authority to allow
right.
you in. And that's true even for just a ghost hunt.
Yeah, and sometimes the mayor is nobody.
It can happen.
Oh, yeah, depending
on
the city you're going to,
it can happen. And so what happens is you really, I guess, you have to find the real person with the legal authority to allow you in. But that's even, like I said, I think it's even true for a ghost hunt. I mean, you can be relatively assured if you're talking about a restaurant or something. An individually owned restaurant, not a chain. But if
right.
you go into an individually owned restaurant, you know, Bob's Diner or whatever, and you're talking to Bob, and Bob says, yes, I've owned this place for 24 years, it's been in my family, handed down, you know, you can be pretty sure that Bob's the right one.
Right.
You know, and he's asserting that I am the owner, you know. So he can let you investigate, and he can give you permissions and that kind of thing. But if it's going to be like a chain of restaurants, ownership could be cloudy, and so you're going to have to really, really work that issue before you can release that. I mean, sure, the manager might be able to let you in and things like that. You can investigate and even talk about it a little bit, but you wouldn't be able to release
right.
your stuff without
the
actual
product. And that's
right.
the thing, and a lot of people haven't got to that point yet when you're going and you're trying to pitch a show and all this stuff, and you're having to send it to networks and get, you know, past the you're even having to get past the.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's really important.
Oh, Tanya, you dropped out there for a second, Tanya.
Oh, I think somebody's calling. Hang on.
We're on hold.
Greg is calling me.
Oh, did we lose
Greg?
Greg
fell out.
Yeah.
We lost Greg. Uh-oh.
Yeah,
okay.
He's calling me.
Okay.
Maybe I'll need to call him.
Why don't we try this? Bonnie, what we'll do is we'll drop you guys out completely.
Let's play. Why don't we play the theme song?
Our theme song. We can chill. Yeah, we can keep talking here.
All right,
yeah,
we're going to drop you both out. We're going to
call you right back.
Okay,
we'll call you guys right back. So just hang tight, okay?
Okay.
Sounds good. So, Scott, what do you want to talk about?
Ghost month.
I think it's going pretty well.
Well, it's the first week. You know, we got a lot coming up. We have in case you guys haven't checked the schedule is up on the website. One thing that you should notice is that we're finally going to do this after like almost 5 years on the air. We're going to be doing a show of nothing but Michigan ghost hunting groups.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited about that. What I'm dropped out already is we have to find another one. But, you know, hey, well, these people, you know, people are going out of town a lot. Especially with the ghost hunting groups. All the ones that are coming out this month, all these people that have been nice enough to come and join us.
And ghost hunting groups
are busy.
Busiest month. And I have to say thank you to everybody, Bo Woods and Tanya
and Greg
for coming on, and of course Justin from Australia.
Yeah.
Let's go over that. Castleofspirits.com or
yeah.
chasers.com, and of course ghoulie.com.
Yeah, yeah, totally. I think we got everybody back on here. Are you guys there?
I think we have everyone back.
What happened to you guys?
Yeah.
We lost you, Greg.
I was trying to listen to what was going on, but there's a delay, so.
That's true. That is true.
Well, we're glad to have you back for at least probably another 8 minutes or so.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, no, it sounds like you guys, I mean, there were some weird things you said that happened. Am I correct when you guys were doing this filming, too? What happened with that?
The first time we were there, Tanya wasn't there for the first filming, but, I mean, we had stuff thrown at us, and there was nobody there. We were in the dining area of the hotel, and some kids had broken some fluorescent bulbs on the floor, so it was all over the carpet.
Yeah.
We heard someone walk into the room, and we thought it was one of the people from the paranormal team that we were using.
Uh-huh.
And when we flashed the light, there was nobody there. But you could hear the glass actually crunching under the weight of their step.
Oh, my God.
And there was nobody there, and it happened twice.
You could hear the actual glass breaking under.
Oh yeah, you could hear the crunching of the fluorescent glass as whatever it was walking into the room. But when we flashed the light, there was nobody there.
Oh my goodness!
And when we were there filming, of course, you know, the Baker Hotel is infamous for smells that pop up. every now and then.
Yeah.
And so we got to experience some of those, and which is always kind of cool, because what's even cooler is Greg was able to pick up an EVP
shortly after that. Did you guys get to actually listen to the and watch the video clip that I posted on YouTube?
Yeah, you sent me that link, and I watched it for a few minutes. And then I had to go running over. We went away this weekend, as most people know.
Oh, okay.
So
listen to that.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
If you can
we link that up?
Yeah,
I
was going to say, Greg, if you'd like.
Let's put a link to it.
Oh, absolutely.
We'll put a link up on the homepage tonight so everybody can check it out also.
Yeah, that'd be great.
What I did want to say something because I know we are running a little short on time.
Yeah.
The cool thing about the show and the cool thing with what I get to do is, for one, I get to find the locations, and for two, I get to find the ghost hunting teams in that state.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not wanting everybody to kiss up to me or anything, but it's kind of like I'm going to be picking the best, and I may pick a person or two from one team or a person or two from another team to make a better team combined. And that the little drama and all that kind of goes along with these teams because, I don't care what anybody says, but there's like this huge competitive thing going on in the paranormal field.
There definitely is.
It's not to create drama. It's just our goal is to get the best ghost hunters that are in that state that can help us with the location. And they need to just go ahead and put their problems aside and try to work together with the cast mainly, because it's to educate the cast and the American viewers.
Right.
Because like I'm one of those people that are going to be sitting at the when I sit and watch shows on TV, I'm like talking to the TV, going, well, why do you think that? And can you why do you think that's a ghost and all this stuff? I'm actually in the cast too, as one of those people. We're going to be sitting there questioning these ghost hunters right then and there. Asking those questions that people at home are going to ask.
Well, Tanya,
that's another cool part of the show. It's kind of like, hey, finally someone's saying that, or asking that question.
Exactly.
And it's not just, hey, because we're ghost hunters, this is gospel.
Yeah.
<You know?
laughs> Tanya, feel free to, here at ghostlytalk.com, Ghostly Talk, and on our website, ghostlytalk.com, we've put together a network of field reporters, we call them, and we've, we've picked people from the different states. We don't have all 50 states yet. But we put together a lot of people who are really, really into the paranormal. They're listeners of the show, as well as they help us out by calling up and telling us what's going on in their state. Sometimes it's just a little news bit. Sometimes it's like, oh, man, we went here and we did this, and it was great. But we have, they may be able to give you pointers or tips and things like that and point you in the right direction. And questions about places.
Right.
And so good. If you're ever sitting there going, I don't know anything about, and pick a state, Connecticut.
Yeah.
Go to our website and on our field reporters page, you'll find a name if we've got a field reporter, and you might want to ask them some questions.
Absolutely.
Have you heard about this? Do you know this person? You might be able to get some tips.
Oh, well, thanks. I'll use that.
We've already got some people picked out, who we talk to in states, and I know that every one of them is really, really into it, and they'd be more than glad to help you out if you're starting from scratch, especially.
You also have us, too, by the way, if you want to come to Michigan and,
if you're in Michigan, we're here. We're here in Michigan.
Come on by. We'll give you a place to crash out. We'll take good care of you. We'll feed you.
That would be a great show.
I know someone who makes a killer goulash.
Oh, yeah.
Goulash.
Yeah.
Very good goulash. Very good goulash.
Guys, I know we're going to be wrapping it up, but one of the things I wanted to touch on real quick before we go.
Yeah.
The thing that's probably the most different with this show than any other show is the cast. The cast, of course, none of them are ghost hunters. Two, none of them are actors. And the biggest thing, it's a racially diverse cast.
Ooh. Which is a first.
Excellent.
I've always said, well, where are the black people in ghost hunting? And I hate to say that, but it's very, very true.
We've got an African-American cast member. We've got a cast member from the Dominican Republic. Of course, there's myself. There's my business partner.
Well, where's your wait a minute? Where's the Welsh ghost hunters? Okay, my people need to be represented here. Okay,
Scott Elf Pete,
where are the Welsh ghost hunters?
Yeah.
Oh boy, we gotta talk after the show.
There you get back into the white Anglo-Saxon.
I am slightly a cast member, so it's kind of like I'll just speak on behalf of all the honkies across America.
Yes.
How's that?
I'm covered.
Our voices
what are
heard.
What are the honky women?
Bummer.
One of the reasons, of course, I did this was the fact that for this to be taken seriously. I mean, you gotta break the stereotyping of ghost hunters. And at the very first, when I first started working on this project, I said that, and I'm hoping I'm gonna coin a phrase here, I did not want to do a Dungeons and Dragons style approach to ghost hunting.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, I didn't want a bunch of people who, look like, they sit around playing Dungeons and Dragons, and then when they get bored with that, they go, hey, let's go look for ghosts.
Yeah.
And I mean, no offense to anybody who does that, because it's fine. But for the rest of mainstream America to actually sit up and pay attention that this stuff is real, you have to break that stereotyping.
Awesome.
Interesting viewpoint.
We
gotta go. Guys, stay on the line for 1 second.
Okay. Keep us informed. We'd love to report on your progress and have you guys on again when something's in the can and signed. If you're going to conventions, because we're on the convention circuit now for some reason.
Hey, y'all need to come to the Oklahoma one.
I can't wait. We'd love to. We'll talk more about that later.
Do stay on the line, you guys.
Stay on the line for 1 second.
I would like to thank you, Greg. McAleer. Tanya Hacker. Of course, welcome back, Tanya Hacker. Julie.com. Of course, this is Ghost Month. We're talking to ghost hunting people.
All month.
Everything's about ghost hunting. Bo Woods of GHO, the Ghost
Hunting Great guy. Great organization.
www.orbchasers.com. And, of course, Justin from Australia, castleofspirits.com. That is our introduction to Ghost Hunting Month 2006. It has been a pleasure and an honor. To serve everybody and ask these questions and get these folks on. We're going to do more all month until next week. This has been Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I'm Ben.
And we're all going to somewhere where a man can think.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
To listen to now.
We'll make it ourselves. Don't hate the media. Become the media.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
The media, become the media.